tell you what I have resting so sweetly on my spirit. My text is Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 7, first part of it. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The memory of a just, of a saint, of a godly person, of a holy, righteous, earnest, sincere, humble, meek, lowly, faithful, gentle, loving child of God, his memory is blessed. People that remember him cherish his memory, hold it sacred in their hearts. I have down the stream of my life, I have many sacred, precious memories of people that I hold very dear to my heart. I'm glad that I have the memory that I do of them, and I think a lot about them. I like to think about them and their influence in my heart and life. And then I think, Lord, help me that I can live so that I can be a help to people like that too. I have a book I fixed up. I had one book I fixed up, and then I decided I'd better rejuvenate and make it a little better. So I have a book, and it is a diary for a certain year. Can't remember what year this was, but anyway, it's not. I use it as each day that has a column that was to be written on for notes and a diary-like thing. But instead of that, I have on each day, I have a list of names of people who were born on that day. And I have been working on that for several years and adding to it. And you'd be surprised how many names. And these are mostly, there are a few that I didn't know personally, but most of the people I knew personally. You'd be surprised how many names I have in that book. Over 1,000. Over 1,000 names of people that a good part of them were very precious to me. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. These wicked people, wicked men and women, down through the years, their name just rots. If I name the name Jezebel, you just go like that almost in your mind, don't you? You know who Jezebel was. One of the wickedest women that ever lived back in the Bible times. And then you think about Noah. What do you think about Noah? I just think about a faithful, godly, holy, humble, righteous, obedient saint who obeyed God and went about to build the ark to save his house and to be an example of faith to all the rest of us. The memory of the just is blessed. It's a wonderful thing. Now, when you think about the name Abraham, what do you think of? Oh, I think of good old faithful Abraham, who answered the call of God and came out from Ur of the Chaldees and went into a land that he didn't even know where he was going. Just looked to God to guide him, and the Lord showed him, this is the land that I'm going to give you, the land of Canaan. Then on up through the years, we read the story of his life and how he was obedient to God, faithful, how he held on to his faith, and then whenever God put him to the ultimate test, when his son Isaac was, according to Josephus, Jewish historian, he was 25 years old, and Abraham was 125, when God put him to the test, told him to to go and offer up Isaac, his son, as a sacrifice and a burnt offering on one of the mountains of Moriah, where he would tell him where to go. And Abraham never faltered, never hesitated, never doubted or anything. He just went right ahead and went to the place. After 2 days, the Lord finally showed him where it was. 2 days walking with that young man that he loved so much. That was his son, his only begotten son of Sarah. He loved him. And he went right ahead, built the altar, laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, put him on the wood, on the altar, took the knife and was going to finish it. And God let him go that far, and then the Lord called on him. Angel of the Lord called on him. And I think about that, and I think, what a blessing. I've tried to imagine that man in my mind. What a wonderful, faithful, godly man. The name Abraham. The name Abram meant a high father. But whenever God changed his name to Abraham, meant a father of a great multitude. Became the father of many nations. He's our father, father of the faithful. Someday, I'm going to see him. I want to meet him. I want to shake his hand. And I'd like to tell him what he meant to me. The memory of the just is blessed. I think about other people. I get to thinking about Daniel. When I was a boy, I thought that Daniel staying all night in a den of lions, I thought that was really something. That impressed me. He obeyed the Father and went ahead and prayed 3 times a day, just like he always did, even if he knew that they were going out to get him. He knew it. And he went right ahead, opened up his windows toward Jerusalem and prayed and gave thanks to God, just like he always had done. And they found him and they reported him and they had him down there and ready in the den of lions as the sun went down. And he spent the whole night in the den of lions. The poor king went back to his palace after he told him, he said, "Your God whom you serve so faithfully, he'll deliver you from the lion." But he went back and he didn't get much sleep that night. He just, no instruments of music, he was just all thinking about Daniel. And then that early dawn came, he rushed down to that den, and he called down in there and said, "Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, has the God whom you serve so faithfully able to deliver thee from the lions?" And he heard Daniel say, "Oh, king, live forever." Oh, that's a memory of the just is blessed. Wonderful thing. Godly, faithful, humble, obedient, modest, plain, saintly life. Something about it's precious. Precious to God and precious to us. Precious to God. God remembers. Psalms 112 says, "The memory, the righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance." Then I think about another one, Job. Think about Job. You have heard of the patience of Job, James tells us. And you see in the end of the Lord how the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And Job, what he went through with. In the 14th chapter of Job, he said something like this, "Oh, that thou wouldst hide me in the grave, that thou wouldst keep me in secret till thy wrath be overpast, that thou wouldst appoint a set time, and what? Remember me." Listen, the Lord is going to remember those who serve Him. He has special thoughts. He has special memory. What was one man that prayed just a little prayer of repentance and humility when he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom"? And what did Jesus say? "This day you'll be with me in paradise." To be remembered by God and then remembered by others. I thank the Lord for the memory of just and righteous people that I have known. I was thinking about a little woman when I was a little boy. She was a black woman, but she was a saint of God. Her name was Sister... I'm a real failure with calling names. I might even have it written down here. I wrote a few down and I saw that this list would be too much. So I quit the list and I said, Lord, just help me. But I'm thinking about a little sister named Sister Frances Bell. Brother Troy, you remember her. She was a little sister and she was a preacher. She was a saint preacher. And she could preach the word. Oh, bless her heart. I remember her. She would get up and testify in meeting. And sometimes she would take the pulpit. I mean, back in her early days, she had meetings down there in eastern Oklahoma. And the Lord blessed and used her, Sister Frances Bell. And I remember one time she made a little testimony. She said, I went to get a drink of water, and it was white. And she says, I got down to pray, and I prayed, and when I got through praying, it was clear. Bless her dear heart, she's precious. I was just a teenager when she died, and they had her funeral there in the Saints Chapel over on the west side. But I think about her. Her memory is precious. She was a saint of God. She loved the Lord. She loved the truth. She was faithful to the end. Then I think about another dear sister, black sister, Sister Cherry. Oh, you remember her, Brother Troy? She lived over here on the west side. I remember how she would pray in service. She was a praying woman. She was a godly woman, Sister Cherry. I don't remember what her first name was, but I was just a young boy. I was just a young boy whenever she died, and I helped sing at her funeral. I appreciated her. She was a godly woman. Then, I don't know. We could all. Reminisce on people. But I just think about saints of God that I have known that I cherish in my heart and mind. And so I'm just going to mention some of them. There was an old man that came to Guthrie when I was a boy. He came from Oregon. He had gotten saved up there at the Oregon meeting. I don't know if it was assembly meeting. It seemed like it was assembly meeting. And he came to the altar. He had been seeking God. He was 65 years old when he came to the altar in Jefferson, Oregon, and wanting prayer and wanting to get right with God. He has said he had been out under the Oregon skies as he read the scripture that says, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows His handwork. He went out under this Oregon skies trying to find God. Finally, he had him down at the altar there in Jefferson, Oregon. And the saints prayed with him, and he prayed through and found peace to his soul. 65 years old. I've heard him say that many times. I've got a little book. He came to Guthrie, and the saints had a little old shack or cabin or what did we call that? It's kind of a little house out back behind the dining hall. And he took up his abode in that little building. And he was a precious man. And he liked to write rhymes. He didn't call it poetry. He just said rhymes. And, he was just wonderful. And after I got saved, I got real close to him because I'd go over and we'd visit and we'd pray. And And he'd say, well, we're going to have something to eat. So he'd open up a can of prunes. And we'd have prunes and graham crackers or something like that. And we just had the best time. We just had a wonderful time. And you know what? He had been an ordained preacher before he got saved. He had got into the gospel trumpet movement some way, and they led. But he gave all that up, but he loved the Bible, and he was a Bible scholar. And we really, Brother O.C. Porter, that's another one I want to mention in a little bit, but Brother O.C. Porter was a pastor, and we had lots of wonderful Bible studies. His name was Charles Harlow Weir. He was a godly man. He was just 72 or 73 when he died. The Lord took him on. Anyway, there's something I didn't... When he was at the altar at Oregon seeking the Lord, and he prayed through and found peace, and his soul was blessed and satisfied, he said to him, now, he says, I want to be born again. And Sister Opal Wilson, there's another one. Sister Opal Wilson told him, said, Brother Weir, if you have really found forgiveness and peace with God, you are born again. He said, that was good news for me. And he came and he assumed meek and humble, quiet life for the Lord here in our Guthrie congregation. He liked to sing. He had a pretty fair voice to sing. Lead out. I remember him leading out on the song, There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. I remember him leading out on that song. It just impressed me. Then I'm thinking about another one. His name was George Stevenson. Brother Troy back here knows a lot of these folks, and he's back there with us. Brother George Stevenson. Brother Stevenson came, and Brother Pruitt fixed him up a little room in the garage, in his garage of the little house there. And Brother Stevenson put up a sign over the door of that little room where he stayed, and he said, I have left all the world to follow Jesus, and this is my little heaven. Jesus says, follow me. And something about the shepherd. And when he mentioned something about the shepherd. And then he said, Brother Stevenson. He was a preacher. I'm going to tell you, he was a good preacher. He preached all over, everywhere. He rode a motorcycle all over the country. He was a real man of God. His wife left him, wouldn't have anything more to do with him. She didn't believe like he believed. And so she left him, and so he was alone in the world. But he finally found a place here at Guthrie, and I got saved in 1956, and I got acquainted with him, and he and I really were buddies. We were brothers. We loved each other. And he just loved me. He was so good to me. And you know, that man had a memory. He could quote poems. And he introduced me to Robert Pollock. Now, you probably never heard of him, but he was a young man of way back in the 1700s. He wrote a book of poetry, blank verse. It's not, doesn't have rhyme, but it's what's called blank verse. But it is deep and it is good. And the name of it was The Course of Time. And he has in there about the creation. He has in there about hell. He just writes about so many pride and all these things. And Brother Stevenson could quote from him. And he quoted so much. I just learned what he quote. I would learn it by heart just by hearing him. He says, he quoted this poem. I think I can still quote it. I just learned it by hearing him. Brother George Stevenson, a godly, righteous, holy, earnest, zealous, fervent in spirit man, even up in old age. I have a friend whose faithful love means more than all the world to me. It's higher than the heights above, deeper than the soundless sea. So old, so new, so strong, so true, before the earth received its frame, he loved me. Blessed be his name. He held the highest place above, adored by all the sons of fame. But such is self-denying love, he laid aside his crown and came to seek the lost at any cost of heavenly rank or earthly frame. He sought me. Blessed be his name. It was a lonely path he trod from every human soul apart, known only to himself and God, was all the grief that filled his heart. But from the track he turned not back until where I lay in want and shame, he found me. Blessed be his name. Then came at last that day of dread, when desolate yet undismayed, with weary frame and thorn-crowned head, he now forsaken and betrayed, went up for me to Calvary, and dying there in grief and shame, he saved me. Blessed be his name. Long as I live, my song shall tell the wonders of his matchless love, until at last I rise to dwell in that bright home prepared above. My joy shall be his face to see, and bowing there with loud acclaim, I'll praise him. Blessed be his name. I learned that poem with no effort, just hearing him quote it. He was a wonderful brother. I'll never forget it. In 1959, while everybody else, and I was too, planned on going to Monarch Springs camp meeting, I'd been saved about 3 years. I got saved in 1956. So this year, I was really trying to live for the Lord. I'd consecrated my life, and I was just doing whatever I felt like the Lord wanted me to do. But as Monarch drew near, and I was making plans to go to Monarch, I was looking forward to it. The Lord spoke to me one day and He says, I don't want you to go to Monarch until after Sunday. You stay here for the first Sunday. And it was very plain. I knew what the Lord wanted me to do. So I stayed. I was there in service at Guthrie on the Sunday morning. And then that afternoon, I can't remember what it was that brought me into town. We lived out northeast of town. But I came in to town and found out that Brother Stevenson, some neighbors had come by and he was in there groaning and suffering, and they took him up to the hospital. So I just went right on up to the hospital and I went in. And he saw me and said, Brother Leslie, he says, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. Will you take me back home? I said, well, yeah, I'll take you back home. He just got up and put his pants back on and we just walked out. Might have made the people mad, but that's just what he wanted. He wanted to get out of there. I took him to his little room and I stayed with him that night. He was having trouble with urinary infection, prostate gland trouble. Listen, that's be rough. Anyway, I called the other saints and brethren, and they finally got him over in the one of the print shop bedrooms in the back of the print shop. He died that week. I went on to Monarch Springs after he passed away, and then I came back for his funeral. His funeral was after the meeting or somewhere at the close, somewhere along. Anyway, he has a special place in my heart, my memory. His memory is just. He was just an intelligent, keen-minded, fervent. Oh, when he would pray, oh my, it was just It was just wonderful. The memory of the just is blessed. You got anybody you like to think about in your heart? Oh, dear ones, it's wonderful. These are precious people. Brother Fred Pruitt and his wife, Sister Mary. I'm thankful that I got to know them and be acquainted with them. Sister Mary passed away in 1954. She was just in her 60s. She died and left him. And then he married again in 1956. Somewhere along in there, he married again a sister from Tulsa, Sister Nettie Sample. And they lived together several years. Anyway, Brother Pruitt was running the print shop. And Sister Marie Miles came back to help take care of her mother in 1954. She lived in California. And after, when she was here, Brother Pruitt told her, he says, "I don't know what I'm going to do." He says, "I need someone to come and help me in the work." Sister Marie consecrated in her mind that she would go back to California and arrange for her to come and be in the work here with Brother Pruitt. When she asked her husband about it, he was very willing to quit his job and come. He wasn't even saved. And they moved here to Guthrie in that fall of 1954. And that's another one that blossomed out in my life, Sister Marie Miles. She was my mother in the Lord. She was such a help to me. She was such a fervent, earnest, praying, godly, humble, meek, loving, gracious person. And she was such a blessing to the young people. She was so encouraging. I wanted to do something one time to help give something to someone. And I didn't want them to know that it was me giving it. And so I thought I would ask Sister Marie if she would help me with it. And so I went to her and I told her what I wanted to do. And I asked her if she would be the one who would convey the thing about it. And she said, "All right, yeah, I'll do that for you." But then later, she came to me and she said, "The Lord showed me that it wouldn't be wise for you to do that." And I remember, I could have said, "Well, Lord showed me going to do it, I'm going to do it anyway. Lord showed me to do it." No, I had such confidence in her wisdom and her counsel that I dropped my feeling and I took her advice. And as I was thinking about it later, the Lord spoke to me and He says, "I'm going to accept your will as done. And you have taken the counsel of Sister Marie, but you're going to be blessed just as much as if you did it." Now, if you get my thought. But that's what the Lord showed me. Anyway, whenever these are things that help people to be precious to you. Spiritual relationship, a spiritual communication. And I remember in 1959, when I decided I had a job here in Guthrie, and I was seeking the Lord one day. We used to have, here comes some memory. Here comes some more names. We used to have a prayer meeting on Wednesday, and we start prayer meeting at 10 o'clock in the morning and go through to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And we would fast, too. We wouldn't eat anything on Wednesday, and we'd have this prayer meeting. There's Sister Lillian Meek, Sister Imogene Taylor, Sister Jessie Taylor, and this little lady sitting right up here on the front seat, she was there a lot of times, too, Sister Imogene Taylor. And Sister Geneva Ray, and oh my, just and then the different ones would come in at noon hour to join with us, and we'd all pray. We'd pray a while, and then we'd get up and talk a while, and then we'd go down and pray a while. That's why we did that. And so, anyway, I told them one day, Sister Lillian Meek. Now, there's another precious saint of God. That's Brother Troy's mother I'm talking about. Sister Lillian, she was precious to me. I appreciated her. And we were talking, and Sister Lillian said something like this. She says, "I believe I'm just right where the Lord wants me. I believe I'm right where the Lord wants me." And so anyway, we were talking about that, and I told him. I said, "Well, I can't really say that." And I says, "I would like to know. I'd like to be assured what the Lord wants me to do." And so they told me, they said, "Well, we're going to pray for you that the Lord will help you to know what..." I didn't know if I told them that I was thinking about quitting my job and launching out to work for the Lord. But anyway, they said, "We're going to pray for you." So I had to leave then and go back to work for my afternoon duties. While I was working, that little bunch of saints must have really prayed for me. And there was wonderful. While I was working, the Lord spoke to me so plain. And He says, "I want you to quit this job and be open for the service of God." And so I did. I gave in my resignation. And I left that work. It was 1959. When Sister Marie approached me the next prayer meeting night, she says, "I want to give you a scripture, and the Lord gave me this scripture to give to you." And it was over there in Matthew where Jesus said, "There's no man that hath left houses and lands and this and that for the kingdom of God, but what he shall receive manifold much more in this present time, houses and lands and so on and so forth, and in the world to come, everlasting life." She told me, she said, "Don't you ever forget that." So, can't you see what precious saints' memory? How we want to live a godly, holy, faithful, humble, spiritual life. You will have an impression upon people. People will not forget you. I'm thinking about Brother O.C. Porter. He and I were close. He was the pastor at Guthrie after Brother Pruitt resigned. He was the pastor at Guthrie for several years. And after I got saved, I got close to him, and we had lots of wonderful times. He was a Bible teacher. He was close to the Scriptures, and we would have some good time together in the Scriptures. I'll tell you, dear ones, it means a lot for you and I to really live a spiritual life. It has a fruit. There's a scripture in Revelation 14. It says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." That's the way it is. You live for the Lord, your works. You live a godly life. You be faithful. You be spiritual. You be a man and a woman of prayer. That's what it takes. You've got to be a praying person. Oh, dear ones, Lord, help us. I was thinking also about Sister O.P. Porter's wife, Sister Bonnie. She was precious too. Also, there was a little woman. I didn't know her well, but I remember there was one young man in the congregation. He didn't have a wife, and I don't know how old he was, but he finally met up with this Mayola Castro, a woman from Missouri, I believe it was. Harvey Johnson was his name. And they got married, and he just thought he had a beautiful wife. Well, she was beautiful in the spirit. She was a beautiful woman. And they were just so happy. They were just so glad. And they lived for the Lord, and they just... But you know, I remember going to Monarch Springs in 1954. And I remember... She made a request, Sister Mayola. They lived They lived somehow out in that area, and they milked a bunch of cows, and they drove an old car, an old rattle, clattery car, you know, an old loud muffler car. And I remember us boys one time sitting up there in that little old railroad station there. And then she come roaring by in that car, and we kind of laughed at her in that car. And we shouldn't have done that, but you know how boys are. And anyway, she made a request. She said, "I'm praying that doing my best to measure up and be what God wants me to be, because I want Him to heal my body." She was afflicted. You could almost tell she was afflicted. She looked pitiful. Sister Mayola Johnson. On a Thursday night of that Monarch camp meeting, I and some other young people came into the service and lined up on one of the benches toward the back. And I remember as I sat there, all of a sudden, here come Sister Mayola and Harvey Johnson walking in. And they come right around on the right. I was not clear to the end, but I was almost to the end. And they come around and come right around and sat right down in front of me. She sat right in front of me. And it seemed like, I remember when they came in, it was strange. It was just like almost there was some other people with them. Anyway, they sit down. And Brother John Wilson. Oh, there's another one. Oh, I've got so many people in my memory book. It's wonderful. Brother John Wilson got up and he began to preach. His message was about time. That's right, time. That was his subject. Make me to know my number of my days, how short my time is. You ever hear him talk? It was really something to listen to. Anyway, he would take out his watch and he'd say, "Well, it's so and so time." And he'd make mention of the passing of time. Well, I was sitting back there and I noticed all of a sudden Sister Mayola was getting restless, and she kind of looked over and put her hand up on Harvey's shoulder, and then she just, her head went back, her mouth opened, her tongue went out, and that little woman died right in front of me. The saints gathered around. They brought in a little cot, and they laid her on the cot. And they began to pray, and they prayed and prayed. But they finally saw that she was gone. Sister Imogene, I don't know if you remember, wasn't you and some of your girls walking up through the tents that night, and you heard the most beautiful singing? I remember you telling about it. She what died, and the Lord took her out. You think I can forget about people like that? I can't forget about them. Probably the angels coming to take her away. Oh, dear one. They were with her that night. Oh, yes. I believe that. Oh, dear one. That's wonderful. The memory of the just is blessed. I've never forgotten her. I think about her every now and then. Mayola. Mayola Johnson. Oh, then more. Brother Dryas Gibson. He was my uncle. He married my mother's sister. He was a minister of the truth. He preached the Word of God. He went out into other churches. Any place he could find a door, he'd go and preach the Word of God. One day he was traveling along, and the Lord spoke to him and said, "Stop. Stop in this little town here." And so he stopped. And the Lord says, "Over there at that church, there's a man over there." So he walked over there, and there was a man standing in the shadows looking into the window of that church. Brother Gibson walked up to him and said, Friend, are you looking for something? Are you looking for the truth? Oh, yes, he says, I'm looking. I said, but I don't think these people have it. Oh, he says, Brother Gibson says, no, what you need to do is get your Bible and pray and read and seek the Lord. And you know, he helped that man. It was a blessing to that man. It helped him to find the true way. That's what he lived for. He was just a righteous, godly, holy. Oh, he was strict. Oh, my, he was strict. Some people thought he was too harsh, but he wasn't too harsh. He was just for the truth. I'm telling you, he was all out for the truth. Then I think about Sister Emma Dilly. Sister Emma Dilly used to come and bring an old couple, brother and sister, Post. They were an old couple here. And she'd bring them to church, and then she went on to the Church of the Nazarene. But somehow in time, she started coming over to the saints, and she accepted the truth and embraced it, and she made a pillar in the congregation. Sister Emma Dilly. I've heard her. She used to be my Sunday school teacher when I was a teenager. She was Sunday school teacher. And I just loved her. We'd have get-togethers at her house. They had a nice little house. Her husband was a carpenter. He built houses. And oh, she was just a wonderful saint. But I remember her saying one time, when you're worrying, you're not trusting. When you're trusting, you're not worrying. I remember her saying that. Well, it came back to me one night when my wife and I went to bed. We lay there and we began to talk. And we began to talk about problems that we used to run into and had. I said, yeah, you know, you remember that those folks there, what a time we had? I said, oh, that was awful. And then she said, yeah, and you remember so-and-so and so-and-so? And I said, yeah, you remember so-and-so. And it just began to pile up like a big pile of stuff right on top of us. And could we go to sleep? Huh. We don't sleep there. All we could think about was all these problems. Couldn't do anything about them. Just people that we didn't know what to do with and how to got frustrated, discouraged, and then they just left. And that's about all we talked about for a little while. Until the Lord brought it back to my mind what Sister Dilly said. And it just seemed like I heard her in my mind. She said, when you're worrying, you're not trusting. When you're trusting, you're not worrying. I said, that settles it. That takes care of the whole thing. In just a little bit, we were asleep. Sister Dilly, Sister Emma Dilly. Yes. And I was thinking about Brother Lloyd Dollins. He was a minister. He lived up in Missouri. And after we moved to Springfield, Missouri in 1963, Brother Lloyd Dollins and us, we got real close. Him and his wife, Sister Zelda Dollins. They had a family, and we were close to him. He had sugar diabetes. He had been with the crew of soldiers that went into Hiroshima after he'd been bombed by the atomic bomb. He went in there to help clean it up. And he was a soldier, American soldier. And after that, they told him, they says, you watch because there's fallout, terrible stuff here. And it affected him. It just about wrecked his health. He come down with sugar diabetes. And he was 39 years old the night that I was at his bedside when I saw him breathe his last. And I remember as we stood around his bed, and I made the statement, I made some kind of statement about Jesus said he'd be with us to the end of the world. And Brother Dolan began to move his lips, and he began to make an effort to speak. And Sister Dollins leaned over him. He was dying, but he said, to the end of the world. He heard me say that. And the Lord took him. I'll never forget him. His memory, His blessing. Well, there's a lot more we can mention, but anyway, the memory of the just is blessing. Maybe somebody else might want to make mention of someone. We thank God for, I do want to mention Sister Margaret Eck, Sister Laverna's mother. Sister Margaret Eck and Brother Albert Eck. I remember Brother Albert telling about when he was praying about Sister Margaret as they were young people. He's praying about her being his wife. And he's out seeking the Lord out behind the barn, you know. And he's praying the Lord to help him to know what to do. And he come out from behind the barn, and he said as he come around the barn, a voice came to him from over the top of the barn that said, "She shall be thy wife." Isn't that wonderful? Oh, I appreciate Sister Margaret Eck. She was firm for the truth. She was firm for the righteous way of the saints. I tell you, she wouldn't take up with this new stuff that's coming on. No, she wouldn't do that. She was steadfast for the truth and the saints of God. Oh, dear ones, let's hold and cherish reverence, respect, honor these wonderful saints, godly people. And then let's live that kind of life ourselves. Let's be faithful and live for the Lord ourselves. Amen.